So I'm supposed to talk about how to live with optimism. And I think this is a very timely topic because I have so many people contacting me saying, you know, what's happening in our world? The world is, you know, there's so many wars, there's so many famines, there's so much going on, and how can we possibly be optimistic with the situation of the world? And many people, after they listen to the 6 o'clock news, you know, they're especially, they feel a sense of stress and despair with what's happening in the world, not only in their own lives, you know, the economic problems that you might have in your own life or health problems or whatever, but really what's happening in the global picture when we look at the various conflicts in different countries, and we look at you know, what's happening to the environment, the environmental destruction, and so on and so forth, then many people feel quite pessimistic and have a sense of despair and worry. So how do we live with optimism, you know, in this kind of situation? So I think it's, you know, it's an important topic. I know in Chinese culture that the number 8 is a very auspicious number. So when I was thinking about what to say, I thought of 8 points on how to live with optimism. Okay. So, of course, I wrote them down so I wouldn't forget them. And then I don't have my glasses, so I can't read them. But we'll see what we can do. Okay. But the first point is to contemplate everything that is going well in our lives and to really appreciate the goodness in our lives. Because I think what often happens is people look and focus on what isn't going the way they would like it to go. So you might have a very clean room and there's one little speck of dust in the corner, and we focus on the one speck of dust in the corner and go, oh, look at this room. That's so filthy. Okay. We're very, very blind in the way we look at life. And we tend to focus on our problems. Yeah. In fact, many people come to me and they say, I can't concentrate. You know, how do I concentrate when I try and meditate? And I say, you concentrate when you meditate the same way as you concentrate when you focus on your problems. Because we focus on our problems very well, don't we? You know, single-pointed concentration. Oh, I don't have enough money. Oh, I don't have enough money. Oh, I don't have enough money. You know, we take out our prayer beads. We recite, you know, one round of, oh, I don't have enough money every day, you know. And we focus very single-pointedly on it. And then we worry, and, you know. I think, you know, we create our problems a lot. Because if we look, there's so many things that are going well in our lives. I mean, just even living in Singapore, think of your incredible fortune to be born in this country. So many other places in this planet you could have been born in. You know, you could have been living in Iraq right now. Or Rwanda. Or who knows where. But, you know, think of how incredibly fortunate you are to be born in a prosperous country. And I think that's cause just in itself to wake up in the morning and say, wow, how fortunate I am. You know, not only in a prosperous country, but in a peaceful place. I mean, we don't wake up in the morning with bombs flying around us or gunfire around us. Now, isn't that incredible fortune, incredible blessing to wake up in the morning in a peaceful place? And then to have enough food. No shortage of food here. In fact, I think, I don't know about you, but I come to Singapore and I eat way too much. Yeah. So no shortage of food. What an incredible blessing. And we're born as human beings. We have human intelligence. We have a human body. We have the ability to learn the Buddha's teachings, to contact masters, to read books. We have all of our mental faculties in shape, so we can actually learn and think about things. I mean, it's incredible the fortune that we have in our lives that so often we just don't appreciate. I remember one time many years ago, I was invited to Denmark to teach. And one of the people at the center where I was teaching worked in a home for handicapped children. And I asked her please to take me there, because I think it's good to go and visit people who have various difficulties. And Denmark, like Singapore, is quite a wealthy country. And she took me to the home, and I walked in the door, and there were toys all over the place, and so much color and toys and beautiful environment. And I was looking around going, where are the children? And then I started hearing these kind of groans. I was hearing, oh, you know, and very strange sounds. And then I started looking closer, and in the midst of all of this color and all these toys, there were these children, you know, that had been born with birth defects or handicapped in some way. And they lived in such luxury, but they didn't have, you know, they had physical difficulties and also mental limitations. So even though they had birth in a prosperous country, in a peaceful country, they weren't able to really take advantage of it in the sense of learning the Buddha's teachings and thinking about the meaning of their life and, you know, hearing about how to cultivate a kind heart and then cultivating it. And I felt a great sense of sadness being there. But I also felt that these children were in some way my teachers, because they were telling me how fortunate my own situation was. And that experience really stayed with me. So to not forget the fortune that we have, just even in small things that we can very often take for granted. Okay. So just, you know, to think about that. To think about the fact that we received an education. Again, how fortunate we are. We have a family. Okay, there might be some family problems. Every family has family problems. But there's people that we care about, and there's people that care about us. And instead of focusing on the difficulties we have with relationships, focus on the amount of love and trust and, you know, willingness and goodwill between us and other people. Instead of focusing on what we don't have, let's focus on what we do have. Because we can always spiral into an endless thing of, oh, my neighbor has more than I do, and oh, I don't look so good compared to all the other people, and blah, blah, blah. But if we actually stop and look, we see that our mind is just creating those kind of problems. But in fact, we have so much going for us in our lives. So I think it's really important, you know, to sit and contemplate consciously the good fortune that we have. Okay? So that's something, like I said, we have to sit down and actually do it. We have to sit down and think, wow, how fortunate I am. I have a human body and a human mind. How fortunate I am. I live in a peaceful and prosperous place. How fortunate I am. I received an education. How fortunate I am. There are people who love me and people who I love. How fortunate I am. I have some talents and some gifts to offer the world. How fortunate I am. I'm able to encounter the Buddha's teachings and to practice them. How fortunate I am. I have the potential to become a fully enlightened being. And to really sit and contemplate this and let a sense of joy arise in our mind. It's really very, very important. So that's the first step for living with optimism. To appreciate what's going on in our lives. Okay, second step is to enjoy what we're doing and not be so focused on the goal of what we're doing. Okay. So enjoy the process and don't be so fixated in terms of the result. So switch our attention to the process, to what is occurring over time, rather than just the goal that we're aiming at. Okay. Because what happens when we focus just on the goal is we get, our mind jumps into the future. Oh, I want this, you know, and what we want is like some kind of image of something way in the future. And we build it up so it's just this perfect, spectacular image, you know, of the result that we want. And then we look at where we are and we go, oh, how am I ever going to get there? Okay. And then our optimism fades away because we go, oh, it's just too far. I can't go there long. No, it's too hard long. Okay. But, you know, that's because we're looking, you know, we're focusing on the result and thinking, I won't be happy until I attain that result. And that's not a very constructive way to think, because the result is far in the future, but the process of going towards that is going to take quite a long time. So why limit our happiness to the happiness we get when we attain the goal? Why not make ourselves happy while we're in the process of actualizing that goal? Okay, so let's say you have the idea that, let's just take a common goal in people's life, you know, that you want to have, you know, let's say you're young, you know, you're a teenager, and you have the goal, oh, I want to have a family and I want to have a good career. And then instead of thinking, oh, well, I'm not going to be happy until, you know, finally I meet the right person to get married and finally have children and finally become president of the company, you know, if you think like that, then you're never going to be happy because that's something way, way in the future. But if you think, okay, I have that goal, but I want to live my life right now and I want to live it in a happy and joyous and meaningful way and take steps to actualize my goal, but, you know, enjoy the process of going in that direction. And if you do that, then you can enjoy going to school and getting your education. And you can enjoy starting out at the bottom of the company and learning the tasks one by one, slowly, slowly. If you do that, you can enjoy getting to know other people, you know, before you get married or before you have a family. Okay? So we come to focus on the process, not on the result. And then that enables us to be much more content, much more optimistic. Because our normal mind now, when we just focus on the result, we're kind of like people who go out and plant, you know, we have the earth to plant a flower garden, and we plant the seeds in the garden, and then we go, oh, there's no flowers yet, oh, you know. And we just sit and moan that there's no flowers. Well, wait a minute, we just planted the seeds. And if you can take joy in the process of planting the seeds, and then, you know, take joy in just watching when the seeds just start to come up above the earth, and take joy when the seed, the sprout starts to get bigger, and then when the sprout has flowers, and then when you get fruit, and then when you have a beautiful garden, if you can take joy in each little step, then your life is going to be very happy. But if you only focus on the result and say, I'm not going to be happy until I get the result, then we're dooming ourselves to a life of dissatisfaction. Not because of anything external, but simply because of the way we're thinking. So this analogy of you know, watching the process, I find it where I live, you know, in Shravasti Abbey, you know, in the physical world, we have this process going on because we have four seasons there. You know, I know Singapore has three seasons, hot, hotter, and hottest. Okay, but where I live at Shravasti Abbey, we actually have summer and autumn and winter and spring, you know, four seasons. And last winter was the first winter I spent at the Abbey, and we get snow there. I have never really lived an entire winter in snow. And it's quite beautiful, but, you know, there's nothing growing. So, you know, there's just snow everywhere. And then I was doing retreats, you know, in the winter, in the snow, and then as springtime was starting to approach, you know, I was coming to the end of my retreat, and so each day when I walked outside, I thought, oh, there's less snow. And then I began to be able to see the dirt under the snow, and, you know, when the snow first melts, it's kind of muddy and, you know, just brown. And then, you know, after another couple of days, very, very tiny shoots of grass coming up in the mud, in the dirt. And then one day I remember walking in the garden, and these teeny, teeny, teeny flowers, little white flowers, they're called snow bells, because they look like little bells, and they're white. You know, first flowers that come up in the garden, very, very small ones. And, you know, just like taking joy in watching this flower come up. And then the next day, you know, there was, on the rhubarb plant, there was, you know, like some, the rhubarb was beginning to grow. There was life coming up. And it was such an exciting process, just watching things grow from being very, very small. And of course, it took many days, I mean, the entire spring, for, you know, these plants to grow. And some of them actually didn't even bring their flowers until 6 or 7 months later in September and October. But this analogy of being happy at the process was shown to me right there through nature, through the environment, of taking joy just watching each little step as things happen. And that enables you to live with a real sense of optimism. So it's kind of like when you have children, you know, if you really enjoy your children, enjoy them when they're babies, because they're not going to be a baby forever, yeah? They will stop crying at some point. you know, and enjoy them when they're learning to walk, and enjoy them when they're learning to speak. And all the different stages of their growing up, really enjoy them, you know. Take time out in your life to enjoy your children at whatever point in their life they're at. And when you're doing some work in your company, take the time to really enjoy and watch how the people in your company are growing and expanding. And rejoice in the fact that you're able to build some skills in your life and you're able to become better at the work that you do day by day. So really appreciate that whole process day by day, slowly, as you're growing and maturing. And don't just focus on the result. Because I think if we're able to focus on the process and rejoice at the slow incremental growth, then by the time we become old people, we'll be very satisfied with our life. And there will be a tremendous sense of richness and accomplishment when we're old. And I think that that's important, to learn how to grow old gracefully. Okay? So to really enjoy each day as it's happening, enjoy the progress we make each day, so that we know that we're going towards a very meaningful life in which our ability to be a benefit to society and to other people grows day by day. And, you know, with that growth in our own skill and our own talent, like I said, then when we reach old age, we'll feel very content with what we've done and we'll have a lot to give other people. And I think that's important because if we just focus on the kind of values that the media is teaching us now, we will have a very difficult time aging in a graceful way. Because the media is teaching us that we should all look young and beautiful. Right? All the advertisements, you have to look young and beautiful. Now, who is growing young? Okay? Is anybody growing younger? No. Is anybody growing more beautiful? No. Even the models in the magazine, even the actors and actresses, they're all growing old. Okay? We're all getting more wrinkles. We're all getting more gray hair. Yeah. We're all, you know, our bodies are aging. That's just the way nature is. So if we only focus on this wrong conception view that the media is giving us, then we're going to have a hard time growing old because we're going to say, oh, you know, I'm getting fatter and more gray hair and more wrinkles and not as young and handsome and young and beautiful and, oh, what am I going to do? And we're going to feel quite a bit of despair. But if we realize that that whole image is actually quite false, and instead focus on internal development and developing a kind heart, developing our ability to love and share and rejuvenate other people, then as we age, we'll feel very stable and content in our maturity, and we'll have a sense of having learned and grown through life. So instead of growing old and being bitter because of whatever difficulties we face, we'll be able to grow old and really sense that, okay, I've gone through a lot in my life, but that gives me some kind of wisdom that then, with a compassionate heart, I can share with other people. And what a nice way to grow old, isn't it? To be able to grow old and feel, I have some wisdom to share with others. And I have more compassion and more patience so that I can really share it with them. Okay. So, second point was remain focused on that process, gradual growth, instead of just on the goal.